You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Yeah, exactly. The live studio audience that we have all the time. Not all the time, but usually. Alright, so we're recording. Because that's how it goes.
Right.
Cool.
Alright.
Hey.
Walter, introduce the fucking show because it's your guest.
Hey. Yeah. This is my guest. This is a Walter episode.
This is a Walter episode.
Alright, so because of like 8 million like mini Fringe episodes that Keith and I did, sometimes not me, sometimes just Keith. I don't know what episode we're at anymore.
I think this is 15 in the official episode roster. I'm not counting 15. Any of the Fringe ones.
Yeah, those were not part of canon. today's guest.
They're apocryphal at best.
Yes. Today's guest. That's not the right use of the word apocryphal.
Apocryphal. Are you fucking kidding me?
Today's guest is
John
Milanos.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
The vocabulary challenge, Keith Eisterman.
Fuck off. Do you know what the apocrypha is? What's the apocrypha, Walter?
Are you saying apocryphal?
Apocryphal.
Yeah, I know what apocryphal means.
Yeah, so and that's what it is.
No,
it's something that's part
apocryphal
of the
means not. It means something
not accepted not into the set.
In the canon of your podcast.
Yeah. That's completely the correct use.
You're saying that I'm outside of...
No, you're in.
You're
number 15.
Okay.
You're in.
You get your own episode, man.
Awesome.
You're
great.
The book of John.
Yeah.
John asked for this, by the way.
I did ask.
Yep.
John
out
asked
of the
to
blue.
Be on this.
Yeah.
And he almost wasn't going to be a part. John is a stand-up comedian.
Yes, I am.
We're back to the good guest stand-up comics. None of this...
Bullshit.
Artsy fartsy theater people thing.
Oh, wait, am I allowed to swear? I think I just said bullshit.
Oh, yeah,
no.
I can pretty much say anything I want.
Swear liberally and often.
Okay, cool.
Swear as much as you like.
Yeah.
John is a stand-up and pretty much got started around the same time as I did. I remember I started a bit after you
because I think I went to like a few shows to like watch and to absorb.
Yeah, but I remember you and I being very green and right around the same time.
Yes,
so like
that sounds about right.
And now
we're bitter and like
now
hate everybody.
You're already fed up with it. Fed up with the scene.
No, not fed up. Just like
just bitter at the scene.
Fuck that guy I was just talking to.
Fuck him,
Walter.
Yeah. No, just like
no, actually Walter. Yeah,
like. No, like you would be me and Walter would talk and then about someone else, then Walter would leave and then like another guy would come and then we'd talk shit about Walter.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
That's how it goes.
That sounds like
school
race environment.
Yeah, it's really...
But, like, we all, like, kind of like each other, but
weirdest,
but not, though, you know?
The weirdest thing to me is that this seems completely, like, across the board in every city I've ever heard.
Yeah,
comedy
is
scenes.
Stand-up.
Like, it's
period.
Not just, like, Montreal. It's, like, Montreal, New York, Toronto.
Yeah,
like, that's a stand-up.
Yeah.
Wretched people.
Yeah, exactly.
Just,
which
yes.
is
we're odd.
The worst.
Well,
we have an odd compulsion.
It makes sense, right? There's a lot, I find, not being a stand-up comedy in... comedian and
stand-up
having talked
comedian,
to
yeah.
talk to a bunch of them on the show whatever is that there is something strange that, about getting up there alone with a microphone that I also like I find completely terrifying. Like I don't mind public speaking and talking and being funny. I just scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
I would just get up there by myself and be like, hey guys, everyone pay attention to me, I'm gonna make you fucking laugh.
Well, that's your first mistake, is that you go on stage and ask that everybody pay attention to you. That's
well,
like,
but no,
that's
but
not a good opening.
You're not necessarily saying it, but you're still doing it.
You're implying it with body
you're implying
language.
It. When you stand up on a stage alone with a light on you, you're implying that
if
people
you did eventually get into stand-up, though,
right.
I think that should actually be your opening line.
Hey
guys, my name's Keith. You guys should all pay attention to me now.
Well, so, like, right already we're seeing what we were talking about a second ago where you're just trying to sabotage me before I even start. You're getting that backstabbing comedy thing going on. Right away you're like, let's fuck Keith up in his entire dream of being a comedian. So, you got started in Montreal?
Yeah.
Okay.
John, where are you from? Here
I live in the West Island. I'm Greek, but I'm like the only Greek person that lives in the West Island.
The only one?
Because your family was exiled from Laval? Is that
the
story,
I think my mom lived in Saint Laurent, my dad lived in Park X, and they met somewhere in between, and then now we live in the West Island. Because I think my dad had a restaurant there.
Okay.
Where?
It used to be on Pierrefonds. It used to be called Robot 2000.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
You own Robot 2000?
No, this is like 20 years ago. I was like 5. And
well, then whatever.
Yeah, there was like little robots everywhere.
What the hell is Robot 2000?
A fucking great Cascut kind of place.
Yeah, basically, and they had like soft ice cream, hot dogs, hamburgers.
So wait, let me get this straight. Your dad was Greek.
Yes.
And he owned a restaurant?
Yes, exactly.
Get the hell out.
He owned many restaurants. But this one was the coolest because my dad is also crazy into Star Trek.
Okay.
And every single person, which was basically my two uncles, had a Star Trek Next Generation uniform, short sleeve, except for my youngest uncle. He got like the blue one. Everyone else was like a captain except the little one because he picked on him.
He was like blue. A scientist. Then.
Exactly.
He was one to be sent out like on dangerous missions. On
exactly.
No, that's right.
And he would probably die. Yeah. Yeah.
Red shirts get sent out on dangerous missions. Come on. Get your Star Trek shit
together. But that's that. And Keith, you've been to this establishment.
Yeah.
It's old.
I've been to it like maybe in the early 2000s.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's Montreal Station Hot Dog, I think.
Okay.
But it's not currently owned by your folks anymore.
They had sick puts-ins. At least the Robot 2000 puts-ins.
Yeah, probably.
Were pretty fucking sick.
Yeah.
Fresh cut fries?
I think so.
Probably.
Let's talk more about fast food.
Is your dad still in the restaurant business?
Yes. He's the manager of the Scores in Dorval.
Oh.
And I work at Madison's. Yep. I'm a waiter. Because I'm Greek. And
Madison's.
In 2 years,
do they have sick breakfast at Madison's?
No, they don't have breakfast at all.
Okay, then what
Madison's
are our
places? Madison's is like a...
It's a steakhouse. It's like Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, but I didn't know if that would be insulting to you.
No, I don't care at all.
There's a restaurant in Pierrefonds that has really good... Overpriced, but really good breakfast. It's just off of...
Pierrefonds?
St. John Boulevard.
Chinoise?
Dejeuner Inc.?
Maybe. No, I don't think Dejeuner is in the title. It's like just a little bit across from Fairview. Like
Chinoise,
man. Down. It's not fucking Chinoise.
Oh, are you talking about Moe's?
No.
Moe's has breakfast across Fairview.
Yeah.
Everything at Moe's is overpriced, though.
I think they updated to make it look like a lounge. It's like a deli / lounge now.
That's always a good move.
Yeah, the deli lounge.
No. Anyway, whatever it was. It was overpriced, but they had good breakfast.
I really wish it was still like the mid to late 90s and everything was still 50s themed.
I wish it was like the 80s, but I still had like an iPhone, like Wi-Fi 80s.
We were talking about that last week. Like how when you're like, oh, we live in 2012 and the future's bullshit and we have no flying cars. I was like, the fact that at any point in time, I'm going to be like, hey, satellite in space, please find exactly where I am and where I want to go.
Yeah.
That seems pretty future to me. Like, that's something that if you told me, even like that's the satellite. Giving you, like, fucking weird things. But if you told me when I was a kid, like, you're going to have a thing in your hand and a satellite will
pinpoint. It can do anything you want, yeah.
Like, it'll pinpoint your location and also it'll fucking be on the internet and what the fuck the internet. Like,
Keith and I also figured that despite the fact that a satellite might be the source of potentially limitless knowledge to you, that its conversation skills would just be the fucking worst.
Boop.
It's that.
Boop. Just continually.
Boop.
And it also, but like, then you get to interpret it as you want. So if you're like, hey, satellite, like, what do you think I should do about this girl that I'm really into? Boop. Well, are you sure, satellite? I think that's rape. Boop.
Yeah.
And then you're like, no, well, I guess if you say so, satellite, you always give me directions. And then, you know.
Also, like, Keith and I don't think have... like our visualization of what a satellite looks like isn't any more sophisticated than like fucking Sputnik.
I didn't even have Sputnik. I just had like a ball of aluminum foil with some TV antennas.
I picture like a huge thing and like arms that reach out and like you know, and there's like a dish.
That's incorrect.
No.
Yeah, well, but why would there be a dish on the actual?
I don't know.
The satellite has cable.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because on cartoons, that's how you see it. That's always like a big dish, and I base everything on cartoons.
I guess so. Do you ever watch Cowboy Bebop?
No.
Okay. A satellite, like an old satellite in space.
I did watch Star Trek the Motion Picture, and there was a satellite that they found at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the Voyager satellite.
Yeah.
V'ger.
Yeah. I made my girlfriend watch it. She did not appreciate what I did to her.
No, that movie is shitty.
Which one?
The original Star Trek. Star Trek the Motion Picture. Yeah. Because it's not Star Trek. It's like, it's really like Asimov kind of sci-fi.
Yes.
It's like hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
Really?
Like as opposed to Star... Star Trek's usually action-y.
Yeah, it's very.
It's very, and like long...
That was like my first experience with Star Trek, so I expected everything to be like that, and then it wasn't.
You got kind of a pleasant surprise afterwards.
Yeah. This is like we're sort of getting into territory here that I really hope that we get into. I'm really psyched about
Star Trek.
Because, now, John,
we've already had Star Trek twice.
You stop me if I'm making an overt generalization here, but I would describe...
Right,
shut up. I would describe your act from my setting as a bit of a dirty act.
Yes. I would definitely agree with that.
It's a bit of a dirty act. It's a dirty act, John. But like, it's good dirty comedy. I like your dirty comedy a lot better than other people's dirty comedy.
Thank you.
It's a good dirty act.
I've seen you. I think
now, this, and you're gonna get. You're gonna bring it around to where I'm going.
You can finish up. I saw you at the Wheel Club show.
Yes.
And I had like the similar thing. Is that like it's dirty comedy, but the laughs aren't the dirtiness?
Yeah. It's like it's Yeah. It's something, if the subject is dirty, but then I try to find something weird about it or something. Yeah.
Because, like, dirty comedy when, like, just, like, the joke is, like, and then I shoved it in her ass. Yeah. You're like, that's
weird,
funny.
Yeah.
And first of all, your filth tends to be self-aware filth.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, which I appreciate. Yeah. And second of all, and this is where the Star Trek comes in here.
This is a bit of a fucking leap.
It's not really.
It's not.
Noticed, and I've told, and this is why I was sort of psyched about this podcast, is that on a one-on-one.
Yeah.
You tend to sort of hold your own in the pop culture territory, which isn't normally reflected in your stand up sets.
No,
and that's what I'm hoping to bring out in this podcast.
It's your pop culture.
You can be filthy all you want. Feel free to do that.
Okay,
but
well, the thing that he's latching onto here, at least that he told me, was your. I can't remember the setup for the Bret Hart.
What really impressed me was the Bret Hart joke that you did at the Wheel Club show. This is a show that I do sometimes
And that's like definite pop culture, right?
It's not like pop culture like something recent. It's something like you have to know.
Yeah, you had to be fucking Bret Hart.
A lot of people don't really know. Yeah.
Like many children, like many boys of our age, you grew up watching a fair amount of pro wrestling.
I remember it would be like on every Saturday morning.
The mid-90s.
Yeah.
You watched the Saturday morning wrestling? Yeah, that was great. It was terrible.
You saw like the highlights and also the new people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was like the jobbers and shit. Like they'd bring out like Steve Blackman and he'd like fight a jobber.
Yeah. And then they would show the highlights. They would call show.
There was Metal. Remember Metal? There was Shotgun.
Yeah. It was Heat, Sunday Night Heat.
Sunday Night Heat. I remember Sunday Night Heat.
Well, yeah, but that was like you sort of caught that like on Sunday. But there was
there was
like these like syndicated shows that would be on Saturday, like, and there was like they were terrible. Like
I never remembered having a title other than just
Shotgun.
WWF on
Saturday. Originally it was just like that, and then I think they made it
Shotgun and Metal, and they were all eventually canceled.
And then it canceled.
They were terrible.
I remember
they were just rehashes of Raw. SmackDown.
Well, they didn't even have SmackDown.
I think it was eventually, before SmackDown.
But it was before SmackDown.
I think there may be a little bit of a crossover.
I watched it for a long time.
The only thing that I remember, do you remember the thing that they had on NBC's, like the
Saturday Night Main Event?
Saturday Night Main Event.
That was an occasional thing.
It was an occasional thing, but...
Very occasional. They didn't do it for like 10 years.
When you got to watch it, it was basically a pay-per-view that you didn't pay for. I don't know if your family...
It was, actually. It was a big deal. Like, and that comes up in the Bret Hart book, which you should really read, by the way.
Should I?
It's amazing.
If you're any kind of fan of Bret Hart.
Yeah, I should probably read it.
But, it's... those things, because I remember, I think maybe once or twice we ever paid for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if your family
I went to go see a pay-per-view. I think I saw WrestleMania 14 in a theater.
Oh, shit.
That was cool.
They already had those? By 14, they were already doing them in theaters?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14 was only like 11 years ago, dude. That's like 2001.
No, they're at they're at 29.
Mid-high school, still a virgin.
No, I thought they were 25.
And I went to go see wrestling with a bunch of my peers.
In 1 or 2 years, they're coming up on 30.
At the Coliseum. Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was it like were you like yelling and stuff?
You remember the main event?
I think it was The Rock and Stone Cold.
Rock and Stone Cold, so that would be like late 90s.
And then I think it was like they're both faces, they're both good guys.
Okay.
And then I think one of them became a heel after.
Was there a guest referee?
Maybe.
I think maybe Vince McMahon came at the end, something like that.
Mm. I think maybe Rock... Rock might have had a heel turn, or maybe Stone Cold.
Something, I don't know. I know they did it like 4 times.
Yeah. They both.
Yeah.
And they talked about that too. I was listening to this radio interview with Edge.
Yeah.
Where, because Edge really, really loved being a heel.
Yeah.
And he was saying, he's like, but this thing happens.
Also, he's articulate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah.
Which is better on the mic. It's more fun to be a heel on the mic.
Yeah, because like, if you're a good guy, you're just saying weird things, really. You're not saying anything cool at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, technically, just two guys that are fighting. The heel is always like is justified for wanting to beat someone up. Then the face, the good guy is
just
like
defending his honor.
I'm a good person. Yeah. Really.
He has no motivation.
No. When he was talking about this like this weird thing that happens, where he's like, if you're a heel for long enough and you're good in the ring and you're good on the mic, he's like the crowd starts to sort of get onto your side anyway.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was getting hard. He's like, that's why the Vicky Guerrero storyline lasted for fucking ever, because any time he started putting any distance between him and Vicky, he would start getting like pop instead of heat.
But like, when he would come to Canada, even though he was like a heel, he would get cheered anyway. Right?
It's one of those things.
It's
one of those Super Bowl. Well, there's also like there's always that happens, but that's why you end up getting stuck with Vicky for like 2.5 years, which is something I wish I kind of wish never happened because it was shitty. But he's like, if I put distance between myself and Vicky, I'd be instantly becoming a face and I'd get pop when I came out. And he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So he's like, you start trying to find new ways to get people to boo you.
Yeah.
And you ultimately end up being
It'd be cool if there was like
timeless.
Comedians like that. Like there was like bad comedians, like people like
well,
heels and faces.
Well, I think we talked about this.
There are bad comedians.
No. We talked about this.
this.
Yeah.
Did we really?
You remember a while back when an idea I got very excited about.
Yes, me and Walter were going to start an NWO of
comedy. Much,
yeah, and just hijack shows that we weren't
so, like,
promoted
just, like,
on at
come
all.
In and start,
I tried to
start playing
this. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just
come
like,
in, like make
we,
the but sign.
What John and I were discussing was whether we should let comics know ahead of time
that
we were going to hijack shows.
You just need to let the tech guy know to play the theme song.
Not even though.
No, you need the theme song.
Well,
we just have a boombox.
Yeah, there's ways around it.
Someone, I would just stand behind with the boombox while you talk.
You just come in and then you knock the guy over and then you spray paint NWO on his back.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. The scene is so big right now with like varying like levels of performance in Montreal.
Yes.
There's so many people involved in it now that I think it's really the time to do it if there was ever a time.
That was such a that fucking storyline went so out of control.
It did.
Yeah.
It was the stupidest.
We will learn from the mistakes that were made.
No second NWO.
Wolfpack
was a stupid fucking mistake.
I tried to explain this idea to my sister because she watched pro wrestling with me when we were kids, and she's like, and she basically told me that was out of my goddamn mind because there's no such thing as gimmicks and storylines
in
comedy. And I'm like, you're wrong. Like,
there is now.
Yeah,
we're starting.
But the premise of just like literally stopping people's sets.
Yeah,
I don't
think we would get many friends out of this.
No.
We would need like a known comedian to be like the street cred.
Exactly. We'll talk about this later. But
yeah.
I don't want to.
You're like, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
No, but I don't like.
We need the fourth man.
We need like nicknames.
Oh yeah, of course.
Was it the third man or the fourth? No, the third man. We need the third man.
Yeah, because it was
right?
Kevin Nash and Scott
Hall,
and then Scott Hall.
And they had a third man. We're missing Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You guys are the outsiders.
We need like an older guy.
But you need like the
NW. Yeah, you need like Hulk.
You need the big guy. We were talking about that. Fuck. So the WWF, or WWE as it is now, like, notoriously hates having licensed music. Like, they like to produce their own music.
Yeah.
That's why when CM Punk, part of his contract negotiations was actually to get the, what the fuck? It's called The Personality, but what's the name of the band that does Cult of Personality? You know the song I'm talking about. But
yeah.
CM Punk
comes
out to now. Fuck, whatever the song. It's called The Personality. He didn't get to have it when he came in because they didn't like paying for money. Or paying for real songs.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how much the...
It's not Alice in Chains, is it?
It's not Alice in... No, it's... fuck, it's called like...
So that band probably gets paid every single time.
Yeah,
but
or they
a lot of license.
Or maybe Vince McMahon owns it.
Think about it. Name some.
A lot of people got license.
Name some. Seriously.
Not in WWE, I don't think.
What?
Name some. Seriously. You think about it and you're like, no, those are just songs. Like... Lemmy recorded songs for the WWE.
Yeah, that was
but like, I mean, every pay-per-view always has its own song.
Yeah, but that's brought to you by this one song, and that's a sponsorship deal.
Yeah,
that's
it goes both ways. It promotes the song
as exactly.
Well.
They used that body song pretty much forever until 9/11.
Remember the
body song?
Yeah.
They used that for everything.
Yeah.
Like, there was like eight wrestlers that had that. It was like a generic thing. Like, for a while, SmackDown started with the Beautiful People. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember that era of SmackDown?
Yes. Yeah.
And they had the Raw had another rock song. But anyway, they hate having songs for the actual intros because...
Plus, they write the song so like it's big at the beginning, so songs naturally don't like lend themselves to entrance music,
I think,
either.
I can only imagine the fucking how much... And it was probably only Hulk Hogan who could pull that shit off.
He did Jimi Hendrix.
To get the Jimi Hendrix back, I'm like, that must have been such a...
But that was WCW,
really
right?
Yeah, but then he kept it back to WWE.
Was he using that? Was he using Voodoo Child at the end of his WCW?
Maybe not.
I don't think he was. I think that just started when.
But
WCW just rolled in money and spent money.
Yeah,
like,
I think
left and right. Ted Turner didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He was too busy with Captain Planet, man.
What the fuck was the name of that band? But anyway,
just
your intro music and like the big. We were talking about that too, like the importance of the first 2 seconds.
Yeah, like Stone Cold. Yeah.
Yeah, like Window Crash, like
The Rock. Yeah,
The Rock and. Jericho, Big Show, and whatever else.
I was at Patterson's place the other day, and he had his like iPod on. And it was on shuffle.
Was it just wrestling music?
No, it was on
That's
shuffle.
Hilarious.
It was on shuffle. So there was like weird Mike Patterson stuff. There was some of his own like parody music in there. Some of his own spoof songs. And then there was one thing I'm like, I recognize this. What is this? And it was that old like late '90s theme to Raw. But there was the whole song.
Yeah.
Oh, his whoa, no, don't say. Yeah, you know that one. Yeah, and it was the whole song. I'm like, I've never heard this whole song this entire time.
Probably exercises that every single day.
Probably
does like weird yoga,
just punching shit. Like,
My roommate, you know the Transformers.
Yeah, of course.
Transformers the movie.
You know, you know Transformers.
You know the Transformers. You may be familiar with this multi-billion-dollar franchise that's out right now. But yeah, the original, the animated movie, The Touch by Stan Bush. My friend used to go running with that song just on fucking.
I have amazing songs that I work out to today.
Yeah, just constantly.
What was I? Today I was working out.
For the record, John is quite physically fit. You guys can't see that, but he is. We always put like a picture up on the website.
Perfect.
We'll do one with you without a shirt on.
But I'm very intense at the gym. Like I'm very like I get into like an alpha male zone, and I listen to like the weirdest music. Like I listen to like Material Girl by Madonna, that no one knows. Only I know.
Until you
and
say
I'm
no
very
that.
Intense. Yeah, until I start like bobbing my head.
See, on like everybody only sees you. You know, like rubbing like the like rubbing your like your
biceps.
The
arms.
Living
the,
Color, by the way.
The thing
I had to look it up.
The sketch comedy show.
No, living. Yeah, no.
The band?
The band. Who sang called the personality.
Everybody only sees you rubbing your barbed wire tattooed arms.
Yeah.
But really, on the inside, Material
Madonna,
I also just imagine, like.
He doesn't actually. For the record, John doesn't have.
I don't have any
barbed wire.
As you're, like, finishing up your workout, you're all, like, sweaty, whatever, and you, like, take the towel and you, like, wipe it off your head and you steal your iPods, and you're, like, just right at the end, you're like, I am a material girl! And you, like, whip the towel down
get, like,
into the basket,
leg warmers.
And everyone's like, "What the fuck was that?" And you're like, "Nothing."
I think people actually hear it with my headphones when I take them off in like the dressing room, like it's just playing, and I think people hear it, and I'm ridiculous.
Whatever. Yeah. I have this whole thing that I can only work out in complete solitude.
Really?
I hate anybody around. I won't push myself. As
yeah, hard. I hate talking to people.
Well, very
you
much.
Still
so.
Doing the insanity.
I am doing insanity.
How's that working out for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't do it 7 days a week like they prescribe, but that's crazy.
You ever try the insanity?
No.
It sucks. It's like a home workout, so it's a lot of like resistance stuff, and plyometrics, and cardio, and whatever. So not really anything that really needs weights. Just stuff that needs like a mat. But either way, I hate. Like, if someone's watching me, I won't push myself.
It's weird,
nearly as hard, because I'm just sort of like, I don't want to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how guys do it. How do you do it, John? Tell us about your workout routine.
Sometimes
going.
I smoke marijuana in the parking lot, and then I'm in my own zone, and I don't want to talk to anybody whatsoever at all.
You smoke before you work out sometimes?
Yeah.
That's funny, because I...
it's intense. You get the best cardio, because cardio is so boring.
Right.
And then, then you're super relaxed after.
Someone was telling me this the other day. I think you know this person. They were telling me that they, for a while, what they would do, like on a Saturday morning, and they would do a couple bong hits.
Yeah.
And then they would eat like a chili pepper.
Yeah, that's insane.
They get all high.
I would never
eat a chili pepper, and then they'd be like all like crazy and stuff, and then start the workout.
That's insane.
And I'm like, I don't understand this. He's like, no, dude, it's awesome, right? Because you get real high, and then you eat the chili, and then you're like crazy and stuff, and your mouth is like, blah, and then you work out. And I'm like, I don't understand
this. Sometimes
I have
like a Red Bull for energy, so then I'm like balanced out. I'm like stoned and hyper.
Okay.
But
you get hyper when you're stoned?
No, if I drink like a Red Bull, like I combine it, so then like I bounce out, then I'm like an intense
work
regular
out the
person.
Least healthy way in the world.
Yeah, it's awful.
I like slam a Red Bull, then I smoke a joint, then I work out.
You're talking about like the jalapeno things. That's intense. I don't. Yeah,
that's too much.
That's way too much.
So, what got you into comedy? Like,
I don't know.
Just pulling back,
doing the traditional question.
now it's the traditional.
We don't have to do traditional questions.
We're
gonna
do 5 minutes
but, like,
of traditional
so,
interview.
So I'm just trying to like visualize the story. So you're a kid. With a wrestling love of.
Yeah.
A little bit of. A
but even wrestling, I like the
and you're
talking
looking
part
to inherit
of it.
A restaurant empire.
Pretty much. Yeah.
No, the talking part of wrestling is always the best.
Yeah.
Like.
Because I got into it like when like The Rock was really popular. And I just loved The Rock.
Well, yeah.
I started even wearing like short sleeve shirts open. Like dress shirts.
Yeah.
Like, it would be like a miniature version of The Rock. I have still like school pictures of these like flashy shirts.
Yeah.
That I bought at this place called Bootlegger.
Okay.
And I only realized now as an adult that was for like guys who would go like to raves and stuff. And like I was the only like 15-year-old boy who would buy a new one every single month to show off to his friends that looked like The Rock.
Check out this fucking shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to be a comedian.
And I think that's like the shit you remember from wrestling.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe there's a couple of bumps, like fucking throwing Mankind off the cage comes to mind. But most of the shit that you remember is good spots on the mic.
Yeah,
no joke, though, I'm the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah. I like the really violent stuff. Like, that's what, like, really kept me involved. Like, I came in for the flashy crap, but then, like, I stayed involved because, like, I was really, like, drawn to, like, the insane. Like, and in that, like, there was a during that period, like the
Jeff
late
Hardy
90s.
Fan?
Was that? Oh,
big
yeah.
Jeff Hardy fan?
Of course. Like, I really like the crazy, insane violence in the spots. And
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
Right?
So you must have fucking loved it when they were fully extreme. And they
yeah,
were allowed
yeah.
To
it was great. It was a great period, man. Like
that was cool, too. But I still like I would take, like, a Mankind Rock interview thing over that.
Did you ever see The Rock's heel turn in Toronto?
No.
It's right after his match with Hogan. Well, it's not right after his match with Hogan, actually. It's a couple months after his match with Hogan.
Yeah.
But that was at WrestleMania, whatever. And Hogan and him at the match, and everybody
match.
Started cheering.
Yeah, well, Hogan.
Everybody started cheering Hogan, obviously.
Yeah, because you have no choice.
And he used that as like this.
Actually, that was a full on year later after it.
Might have
that
been
was the weird thing because like he was gone for a while, then he came back and he revisited the issue and said that like he's been pissed off about it the whole time and how a year ago like the people.
Well,
were,
no, it's that he uses.
And he would wear like a lot of like black leather vests and leather pants.
Who are we talking about?
The Rock.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd wear like a lot of like
yeah,
weird
but just, like, he,
cowboy.
They come out and everybody's like huge pop and they're all like, yeah, like The Rock or whatever. And then you're just sort of like, it's like don't cheer me, Toronto. Like,
oh,
I,
yeah.
I remember when you were cheering Hogan and now I come back now that Hogan's not wrestling anymore and you want to cheer me and all that
but
stuff.
But this is when he came back.
I remember
back.
You booed every time I hit him and like.
I know what you're talking about. This is when he came back after his initial. Hollywood,
it was like 2005, 2006.
And he had the shaved
like,
head, and he had the new. Then he had the new shoulder tattoo.
Yeah. I don't even think so.
I think so. I think that's what that was.
Either way, it's a fucking amazing.
It's a big, like
promo.
Belt buckle and like leather pants.
Yeah,
like
whatever.
Really weird.
But, like one of like the best moments where he was just sort of like, "If you smell," and everyone's like, "What, The Rock?" He's like, "No, Toronto, no, you don't get to do callbacks for The Rock anymore.
No,
this is my thing. If you," they do it again. He's like, "I said no," you know. And I was like, "I'm just like in stitches watching it. Like,
yeah,
I'm just like." You have you're basically like berating and like chastising 60,000 people at once, and like being able to at least command their attention.
I think that's every comic's dream, actually.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Berating 60,000.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Is to have is like to get to the point where you're doing arena shows,
yeah.
and then to just you know.
And we were talking about weird
yell at everybody.
Fuck your
bit,
you know. Like,
they're like weird wrestling legacies, like the fact that when a heel talks too slow and is shitty on the mic. That you still yell what at him?
Yeah.
I'm like Austin.
Do they still do that?
Yes. If you talk, and it's so funny because it's such like a, it's such a cheap way to be a heel on the mic, right? Like, listen, John.
Yeah.
I'm going to
what and then
beat
yeah.
you harder, yeah. and you're like, why are you talking so slow? Yeah. And it's like you can tell that it's a guy. Who
I would love to do that to a heckler one day if he like kept engaging me and like as he was talking,
yell what?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so weird that stuck around because you know in the whole of Austin's career that wasn't even a very long
that he was out but it was very memorable like when someone and on top of that too if you've seen interviews with him like off the record interviews the whole thing when he started doing it was when he was paranoid Austin when he was always like what are you talking bad but when he started doing it as a like just like a mocking thing is he was like when I thought that the other guy was boring the audience. And he was like, and I was sick of him. I would just yell, what?
Like, that's hilarious.
And because it was just sort of like, literally, I'm standing across the mic, and we're supposed to be having this intense promo, and you're boring me. So every time you take a pause, I'm going to be like, what?
It was,
what?
It was,
and I was like, that's such a dick move.
Pretty much. Like, that's crazy.
But, I mean, I guess he basically ran the show.
It came out
time.
A lot. It came out a lot during the invasion angle.
Yeah.
When they had acquired, after they acquired the WCW, when they were bringing in a bunch of those people, and he sort of like, was a turncoat.
That's crazy because they're like real people and they have to talk to each other in the locker room and he's just like, a big asshole.
Yeah.
their
but
promos.
Apparently Austin always was. Like, he shows
really,
up a little bit in the Bret Hart book. Like, not that he was an asshole. Like, he was never rubbed it in your face but was always very like...
Difficult to be
not,
with.
Not even difficult to be with. Just like not at all part of the crew. Like, not one of the guys. Not whatever else like that. Like, showed up, was professional, did his job, did whatever else like that, but never one of the like, let's go out for beers afterwards. You're just sort of like, he was just kind of... In his own thing.
Yeah.
Which is cool, though, I guess.
Whatever.
I think WWE fucking benefited greatly from having Brock and Austin at the 100%. Same time.
That's crazy, yeah.
That's, like, absurd. Two guys who were, like, in a very different way could command, like, the attention of 40,000 to 50,000 people. Well, it's like fucking, you look like you have a thought.
No, I was just burping.
That's what the mic button's for. Mute.
Oh, I was
turning my head.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice.
Like a doctor.
Like a doctor.
Exactly, so you don't do it in his face, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things. There was this off-the-record interview with CM Punk.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'd say off-the-record, like non-kayfabe kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were like, what's your biggest like piece of advice or whatever for a wannabe wrestler and all that stuff? He's like, anybody can like hit the gym and learn to take bumps. He's like, fucking take an improv class. He's like, just learn to fucking like
talk
to talk and to be able to like take cues when something's going south, when you're supposed to go off script and stuff like that. Like, 'cause you don't know always.
Apparently, that's how Edge got very popular too, because there was like an interview when he was in that like group with like Christian, and there was the other guy,
the Brood,
the original
the
Brood.
Guy. What was the
not
guy?
The new Brood.
What was the guy?
Gangrel
couldn't talk at all, and then like he just basically screwed up the whole promo, and then Edge just grabbed the mic because he could talk, and he carried the whole thing, and then that's how he.
No, him and Christian both. Like,
yeah, very good.
They're fucking hilarious on the mic. Like,
and
it's just it comes a lot from. Yeah. I think just being able to know when the crowd's feeling it and when the crowd isn't. Whereas you see a lot of these guys who are just gym rats who are just like going
amazing
to stick to the strip and whatever, and you're like
boring.
I think, by the way, I think we've officially crossed like past the record set on this podcast of
talking about wrestling.
Wrestling set by Patterson, I think.
I think so.
Patterson, because we went on with
really.
Yeah.
At one point, I was addicted to like YouTube clips of wrestling.
Oh,
like, I could spend like 5 hours watching wrestling.
But
like,
you get sucked into that black hole.
There's like
fast,
those like
man.
Interviews where it's like four guys, like Jim Ross, like
those are
awesome. Yeah. What are they called? Legends
I don't know.
Wrestling?
I think they're taken from like DVD features.
Yeah,
or something.
The pay per view things.
Have you ever seen the rise and fall of Ultimate Warrior?
No, but I would love to.
It's fucking fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
It's like it's
Bret Hart talks nothing but shit about him in the book.
Yeah,
by the
way.
It's kind of one of probably the most candid like WWE DVDs you'll ever see. It's a lot of people being like, he was awful.
Yeah,
he was fucking crazy.
Yeah,
he was like
he is crazy.
He was like stiff when no one wanted him to be. Like he would show up because he sold fucking shit tons of merch.
Yeah, how is that possible?
Why did he sell merch?
Yeah,
because
like, it's
weird. He looked great.
He looked great. He looked ripped.
And they gave him a huge push.
Yeah, that's
Vince
the thing.
Loved him.
Like why?
Like
because
loved
of his look.
Him. Yeah, because his look. At that time, like late '80s, was like Vince was only pushing people on their look, basically.
Pretty much like Lex Luger.
Yeah. But that's it. But he just fucking. Well, that's why Cena will A, never turn heel, and B, gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. Because
started as a heel.
His merchandise. Yeah, he started as a heel. He started as like a fucking
rapper.
Hip-hop rapper guy.
Yeah.
His merchandise made up something like 40% of all of the profit that WWE
That's
made.
Probably true. They probably keep the people that sell the merch the most as faces to sell more.
Well, because kids buy it.
Yeah.
Kids buy merch. And the other thing, too, is Cena's a fucking merch machine.
Yeah.
Every time he changes his look, he gets a t-shirt, a hat, and wristbands. Most of them just change a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever. So Cena gets
the whole thing.
The whole entire fucking kit. But like 40% of the money the company made, like merchandise of all the other wrestlers, all the pay-per-views, all the other advertising considerations, his merchandise was still almost half the money they made.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fucking, so he just gets the... They're like, he's always going to be headlining. He's always going to be a face. It's going to be dull.
That's a lot of the money. That's crazy.
Because just kids... Kids buy his shit. And also kids buy the shirt. Like, the three of us could go to a wrestling thing and, like, maybe one of us would buy a shirt if we were really
probably
drunk.
Not. Yeah.
If we got really shit-faced, we'd be like, I'm buying that t-shirt. Yeah. But, like, it wouldn't even be, like, a guaranteed sell. If you bring a kid to wrestling, you'd better be ready to buy him something.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, Bret Hart was saying... I'm sorry to keep bringing up this memoir.
Okay, you love
it. I should read it.
It's really good. He talked about, like, how early in his WWE career, at one point, like, a suit or some executive, it was like, they're like, here... Start wearing these mirrored shades to the ring.
Yeah.
And, like, but the specific, the wraparound ones, awesome ones.
I want
to
wear those now.
Like, give a pair to, like, to pick a random kid at the beginning of their run. And that was, like, huge. That was, like, a big turning point.
That's like Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio always gives, like, he wears two masks to the ring and gives the outside mask to a kid.
And they started selling, they would sell, like, the glasses and stuff,
Well, the
if you can find those, I would wear those every single
day. I'm sure they made them. There's a
eBay that shit.
I'm sure there are still warehouses full of Bret Hart wraparound pink sunglasses.
No, there's like, a mirror, like the pink mirror.
There's like a small village in Mongolia somewhere where all the kids.
And wasn't it? It's like a joke, right? Like it's like the pink. I think they talk about that in the book.
That's part of my joke. Actually,
the pink was part of the heel thing. That was just to get them heat.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Was just
they were just sort of like,
wear.
Yeah, they were like, what are you guys going
to
wear? And they're like,
and
well, people are supposed to hate us.
He actually started wearing the shades in the first place, before the mirror ones. He actually started wearing shades because he saw himself doing a very early promo video and didn't like the way because he was really nervous and his like eyes were darting all over the place and he said he thought he looked bad. So then every promo that he would shoot, he would wear shades. I think
Macho Man's had been cockeyed since the '80s. I think that's why he wears them.
Cockeyed?
Like fuck, Macho's eyes do not look in
none
the same
of them.
Direction.
I think
they're
Shawn Michaels.
He's got little
Shawn
tiny
Michaels.
Eyes.
Yeah, but same with Michaels though. Like if he's like looking straight ahead, one of his eyes is like.
I think it's like ripped or something. Like his retina is like his eyeball's not attached to anything.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't move.
I think they take too many bumps in their eyeballs and they get the test.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That's Michael's the same way.
Yeah.
Who?
Michaels. Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Heartbreak Kid.
Never
HBK.
Noticed it.
Watch his fucking eyes. It's ridiculous. He looks, especially when he's trying to do like these like emotional bits.
Yeah.
Like he's just like, I love you, Hunter, and like one eye is staring off to the side.
It's like he's like Columbo.
Not I actually cool. saw a clip on YouTube of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels talking to each other, and there's like behind the scenes of the interview, and they're like comparing eyeballs to each other.
That's
and like Bret Hart's asking him about like how like his eye goes up and down, and it's pretty funny. I'll post it on your wall tomorrow.
We're back with Wrestle Chat. With
this is a new podcast that we're doing.
From restaurants to Star Trek to wrestling. Yeah. You asked me how I started doing stand up.
We sort of tied that into wrestling.
Yeah.
You were like, you wanted to be the guy on the mic.
Yeah.
You're pretty in good shape. But did you ever think about getting into the amateur ring?
No, I don't think so.
Patterson announces it, right?
Does he?
Yeah.
You didn't know that? Patterson used to have like an amateur wrestling career.
I thought he managed a tag team.
He has one coming up in August or whatever.
I think he only does it like very rarely now.
He said he's announcing the next one. Once every 2 months they're doing it now, I think.
Does he manage a tag team as well?
I don't know if he does it.
He used to ref and stuff.
But supposedly there's this new local Montreal promoter thing. And at least he announced the last one and he said he's announcing the second one.
That's cool.
I've got to get involved with that.
So yeah, just get do it. Just fucking flying clothesline.
Yeah,
I'll be your ring man. I'll be your ring manager.
Think about it. If Shane McMahon can fucking get in the ring, you can.
Yeah.
And like Shane was like a little roly poly kid who went coast to coast flying.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
That was really cool.
Flew corner to corner and kicked a
maybe
trash
I could
can
do it.
You'd feel like such a boss.
Yeah, I'd feel weird though, like walking around in my underwear.
No, you know? No, you're Canadian. You wear pants.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Almost every Canadian wears pants.
That's all.
If you think Edge and Christian wear pants,
Bret Hart,
Benoit pants, Bret Hart pants. Not all of them. Jericho used to wear pants.
Yeah.
Like most Canadian wrestlers wear
the hell?
Pants. Lance Storm pants.
Yeah. Wow. I've never.
It's colder up here, maybe.
Maybe.
It's unheated arenas. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm Calgary. Like,
yeah.
You're not wearing no tights. Like, no.
But
bumps.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's like a thing. But we noticed it a couple years ago that most Canadian wrestlers wear pants.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like, I think there's... like, I can get behind that.
Yeah, well, pants yeah.
But they still gotta be, like, you know, dick-shine pants.
Yeah.
No, exactly. You're not from North Carolina.
Did you read it in Foley's books?
Yes, I read the first one.
I'm reminded of that one anecdote where he convinces Al Snow not to wear underwear under his tights because it'll look better on TV.
Yeah.
And then, so of course, the first I don't know if it's him himself who does it to Snow, and he lifts him up into like a vertical suplex and purposely pulls down so his dick flies out of his. Yeah, it's great.
Taker shows a lot of people's ass cracks when they do the last ride. There was a whole period of time like you saw Edge's ass constantly, and I was like, I don't know if he's just dicking with them.
Just fuck with them, maybe.
Because like, really he gets them up there, and then he like yanks it a little quick, so like a bit of ass comes out. And I'm like, you're just being a douchebag. And who's like, what are you gonna tell Taker? Like,
nothing.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, you're not. He's fucking huge.
Yeah.
it was Big Show. There was an interview with Hunter, like Triple H, where they were talking about who you'd be the most scared of in the locker, like if things went down. And he's like, would it be like a guy like Ken Shamrock or Steve Blackman or like, maybe like a Kurt Angle? And he's like, no, Big Show. 100%.
He's huge.
He's like, you don't know. He's like, if he wanted to, he would kill you in a punch.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, if he just brought his fist down on your head, you'd be dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's...
He's a monster. Like, he's that.
Like, he's the friendliest guy, and it's never
for
come
sure.
to that, apparently.
Yeah.
But...
Apparently, Andre the Giant used to, like, when he would, like, all the big dude wrestlers, they always do that thing where they sit on you and stuff, where they'll drop down on you.
Yeah.
And they always, like, obviously pull it. Reagan, but like apparently Andre would put just a little bit of weight on you, just a little bit, just to show you
who the fuck is boss.
Did you see that picture that was on Reddit the other day?
No.
It's
the answer to that question will always be no, Keith.
It's Andre the Giant holding a can of Molson, but the can, like the entire can, fits like into this space. Like it looks like you're holding. Since this is a podcast and you can't see the gesture I made. What's the like?
Keith is not a large man, and he just showed his palm.
It's like if you have like a loony in your hand.
Almost, yeah. Or like, oh no, like a 5-hour energy.
There you go.
Like
it
looks like a normal person holding a 5-hour energy drink, but there was a can. Of, yeah, exactly. It was, like, but it was a fucking beer can that size.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
I'm goddamn terrified.
John, do you have anything to plug?
no, not really. I'm trying to. I want to plug. I'm trying to do my own podcast.
Okay.
Nope, not happening. All right.
So I basically came here, I came here to hijack your podcast.
Anyway, so moving right on. So you're doing your own podcast? Cool.
I'm trying. I'm working.
Is it about wrestling?
No, it's about. It's. I wanted to.
You certainly made this one about wrestling.
Pretty much.
We did that.
I want it to be like Delilah, like it's like a love show. But
what you made that reference to me before. What is what's
but
Delilah?
But it's like a thing on like Q92. Yeah, it's like where women call and they're sad.
To Delilah.
Because they miss their husband who's in Iraq and whatever, and there's sad music playing in the background. But I want that, but like for men, and like men would call and write me letters and ask me like questions, and I have no expertise at all, but I would answer.
Filthy.
Yes.
How would people call into a podcast?
No, it'd be like letters that I would like.
Oh. Yeah, okay, I see.
You know.
What would you?
And there'd
be
like an interview segment too. There'd be like a monologue and that, and then things.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to send letters.
Yeah, we should. That's why I need people, because I have recorded my first podcast, but since it's the first one and no one knows to write letters, I wrote my own letters.
Don't tell them. Don't kill the magic.
I think I say it in the podcast anyway.
Okay.
Worst comes to worst, just take like Dear Ann letters and shit from the Gazette and like just answer those.
I want
yourself
to be like Dear John.
Yeah. No, I'm saying take actual
things and re-answer them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good idea too.
Just go on to Yahoo Answers and go to relationships.
Yeah.
That's also not bad. Yeah. And then you could potentially get like a single listen to your podcast by
and then it'll
answering the question with being like, I answered this on my podcast.
Yeah.
Click. So if ever you're
genius.
Like, if ever you're dry of things being like Missy Girl 69 asks, like, is it normal that
there must be stuff on like Craigslist too I can answer.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's advice so much on Craigslist. There's more just weird hookups.
Just no, just
what's
answer
that thing? There's like a section.
The casual
encounters?
Casual encounters.
Or closing?
Yeah.
Missed
connections.
Missed connections. That's it. That's what I should
do. And every time the answer will just be, yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
It's like, I saw you the other side of a metro. You were reading a book. You looked up briefly and our eyes met for just a moment. Yeah, it's me.
Totally.
Me. Still me.
I've always, like, we're going to be making a shirt, a misconnection shirt, I think.
That's hilarious.
Just a shirt that says, I read misconnections.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's hilarious. They're hilarious.
No, but on top of that, too, because, like, the whole sense of misconnections, like, that guy would get misconnections.
Has anyone ever, like, re-met and, like...
I don't think so. I don't think a single person has.
There's no success
rates. No, yeah, there are.
Bullshit.
If you go to Best of Craigslist, there's success stories.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's like
what the hell is Best of Craigslist?
There's like a thing like where you can go to like success stories or whatever.
Really?
Where it's also just like, I bought this camera and it was amazing and this guy was awesome. Like, there's stuff like that. But in that whole section...
That's cool.
You have like a success stories. I don't know if it's called Best of Craigslist or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a section, like success stories. Not just about the misconnections.
Yeah.
Sometimes like, I had a fucking cum-guzzling orgy arranged by Craigslist. You know. I guess so. That was me agreeing to another beer. So
I'm good.
You're doing your own podcast?
I'm trying it. I think it's I think I'm gonna do the Dear John. It might be the title or it might be like a segment within the podcast.
Okay.
And I think I might call it like Happy Hour with John Milano, so it'll be like in a bar and we drink and the podcast.
So you're
will
ripping
be
off our thing.
Pretty much. No, but I want to build my own bar like in my garage or something because I'm addicted to my garage.
And then you never have to come out to the West Island.
Exactly.
So then you have to arrange sleepovers.
That's
you
fine.
You call it like sleepover with John.
Sleepover,
Holmes.
Yeah.
And just like,
yeah.
You brought your sleeping bag today?
Yeah. So basically, I came here to see what you guys do. Because I just have like a regular stand up mic.
Yeah, that everybody gets close to.
That's the thing. Like, I only have one, so I can be the only one talking. Or I switch back and forth.
Yeah.
So, or I get a second microphone.
I know a person, Kyle, our last guest, Kyle has a podcast. And they just got a more open mic.
Yeah, like there's like the Icicle or something it's called.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Yeah.
The only problem is that really wouldn't work in a bar because there's the background noise and it would pick up.
Yeah, pick up everything
up too much. That's why we experimented with like this
different
is great
mics
for the listeners, by the way.
Yeah.
But if the listeners want to start a podcast, they're getting like some
advice.
They're getting some advice. Yeah, these the Microsoft mics that we grabbed.
Yeah.
For the USB mics, they have a bit of noise cancellation.
That's cool.
Built in them. So, like, you'll hear it when you go and listen to the podcast. You hear the bar a little bit, but it just sounds like a bar on a TV show.
Yeah.
You know, so
like, it's
like,
the background of Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can tell that it's recorded in a bar, but it's not like, what the fuck
Damn it, Carla. Saying?
Damn it, Carla.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. We just watched an Always Sunny episode where Danny DeVito was naked. It's so gross.
It's always good.
So
the Christmas
gross
special?
Christmas special.
Yeah.
So,
he comes out of the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hot.
Yeah.
So hot in here. Such a weird fucking look to him naked. So
it's just
podcast,
like one amorphous.
Send me the link, I guess. We'll obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to try to work it out. I have a website that doesn't exist. I just own the title to it.
Okay. The ours was like that for about a year.
Yeah. You got a podcast that you're planning and a website that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That was us for a year, though.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm literally come here to plug
don't
nothing.
Knock it.
Excuse I'm plugging. I came
us?
To plug wrestling.
Keith, I only got involved with the project once there was like a concrete podcast to get involved with.
Yeah, I know.
Don't drag me into your procrastination, Keith.
I'm saying us in the 9to5.cc family.
There you go.
There you go. Including our artist just sitting next to her in silence, Sophie.
Who's insisting on not laughing out loud. Thank you, Sophie.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Right
she's,
now,
she's doing
just
it right
smiling
now.
Like a little girl.
Yeah.
But she's been, like, probably loving this since we're
just called the resident artist?
She's the resident
artist. That's awesome. Can I be the poet laureate of the website?
The poet laureate?
Yeah.
I do a lot more writing than you do.
Yeah, but I can still be the poet laureate. It's a bite me.
You're the host of the other podcast.
I could write in theory.
You could write in theory. I've given you have a little icon. There is a Walter login. You just wrote one article.
Yeah, don't.
And like, fuck it. Real helpful.
I had a couple articles started.
That's good.
That are
I have like
somewhere.
A bunch of articles just like sitting around that I haven't finished. So also you do stand up presumably. A
yes.
Lot? A lot. I mean.
Yeah, I do it a few times a week.
Okay, that's
yeah.
A lot.
But
a lot more than
sometimes I go like a week without doing anything, and it's like awful. I go
like
withdrawal. Yeah.
You get like jonesing for it.
Yeah. Then when I go back again, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing at all.
It's because your girlfriend doesn't laugh enough at you.
Yeah.
You're trying to make her laugh. She's like boring.
No, she laughs at things, but then I'm like, I don't know if I can actually say this on stage, or things happen and it's funny and it doesn't translate.
Yeah, a lot of that doesn't translate. Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah and Walter have like a fucking thing
shorthand
where they just go it's the best and like yeah. It's based on this whole story but
it really didn't even start as a joke.
It's not even a joke.
No.
and it didn't start
as a joke.
It cracks
either.
Them up
yeah
but it's like it's not a
it's like a couple thing
it's
like a couple thing that my friend's boyfriend and my girlfriend share.
Super awesome.
I made Walter not my friend in that scenario.
That's hilarious.
It's this thing that my,
just
my girlfriend
friend.
And some
guy
asshole do.
Yeah.
Better friends with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So, okay, so, and I assume you have, like, you have a Facebook page that people can
yes.
Be fans of?
Yes, I have a Facebook page and John
Whoa,
Milanos.
Really stretching on
and there's
episode.
A fan page with 12 people like that I don't really keep up to date at all.
Yeah, I got
you have a fan page, right? That you don't
I got a ghost fan page, too, yeah.
How many fans do you have?
I don't know. I don't do shit on it. Like, I
no,
could,
no one does.
I could conceivably force it to be,
it's
like,
very
have more people.
It's 2011,
like,
the fan page thing.
Some people only have that.
Yes,
I don't know. We have a fan page for the
website.
I don't think
either of us at that level okay. Where you can only do that.
For a website, it makes a bit of sense because when I update the website, I send a message as the page.
Yeah.
So the people who are fans of the page are like, oh, there's a new podcast out.
Yeah.
So that makes a bit of sense.
Yeah.
I think.
That
but if you're doing
sense.
like hey. I guess shows, you could probably put shows that way.
Yeah.
But if you but you already have friends of you.
Yeah.
So you could just do it on your own page.
Yeah, and it's I feel like I'm bothering everybody by re-adding me, and then they have twice of me, and then it's
it's
too much.
Whatever. Fuck them.
Plus, I have Twitter.
Yeah,
it's connected to Facebook.
Twitter, I can't get my head around it. We have like 10 fans on Twitter, and I just don't tweet enough. And the tweets.
That's
that
the thing. You have either you tweet like 10 times a day, or you completely forget about it for like a month.
Like you know, Mo Aurora.
Yes.
He was like fucking getting really self obsessed about Twitter at one time. We were just like drinking, and he was just sort of like, "How do you get more fans?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Dude. I have no idea either.
Why did you have this conversation with Mo Aurora?
Because I. Go come here on Open Mic Tuesdays and drink while you're fucking making like a drunken fool of yourself.
Right.
You're usually every time I've been here on Tuesdays, you're like fucking gone.
Yeah.
So I just
including the last time where I hosted.
Yeah. Even though you weren't supposed to.
Right.
Who was supposed to host?
Not me.
Well, it was supposed to be Massimo, but Massimo wasn't didn't know that because he was in Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Betsa was doing something else, so I was like, and I was here waiting for one of them to show up. With like already like four and a half pints in me, and I was like, "Which one of you guys is hosting?" Mm-hmm. And then nobody was, and I'm like, "Want me to fill in? Because I could do that." And Chris is like, "Yeah, sure, that would help me out." And I'm like, "Done." That was interesting. And then like you showed up like,
I showed up like past midnight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were gone.
And I was still hosting.
Yeah.
So, and the best here is this is a classic moment of Walter's hosting on Tuesday. Hey, have I told you the joke about this before? People like, yes. All right then. Next act.
That was it. That was
a good one.
Fucking classic and professional.
Yeah.
Like, was that?
Well, I asked first, didn't I?
You did ask, as opposed to just fucking... Like, you'd ever listen to Mitch Hedberg, I think his first CD, I think, the one where there's the bassist? Because Mitch used to fucking read for his comedy sets. He used to read them off paper.
Yeah.
He used to have, like, points because he had, like, social anxiety disorder and shit.
Also, those are hard, like, if you're trying to memorize a half hour of that, that's
hard. Of one-liners,
it's hard.
Yeah, and his stuff is, and his stuff is really, like, a lot of it is super key on delivery. Yeah.
There's no bit longer than, like, 30, 40 seconds. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, he, like, he laughs at one point, and he's all high and fucked up, and he must lose his place on the paper.
He wasn't, though. He wouldn't. Yes. He wouldn't perform high and fucked
that
up.
That is bullshit.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't. Sure? I heard that once. He said, and he said he wouldn't perform high. He performed drunk.
Like he might just be
performed drunk, but he wouldn't perform high.
If you listen to the difference between his first pot, his first CD and his second CD, he's like clearly way the fuck up on his second CD. It's unlike any other time you've ever seen Mitch. Yeah. He's like ha da 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 da, and he's like heavy breathing and all that shit. There's no way he's not on anything.
Like, but didn't he do? Wasn't he on heroin?
He did a lot. He just did, and apparently towards
everything. Just, if you do heroin, you pretty much do everything.
Yeah, yeah. But like, there's even stories of like later on, like in small club gigs, he would just be like, the shit I'm on is wearing off. Who has stuff?" And like taking it from the crowd. Maybe not necessarily doing it on stage, but like
after,
just getting ready. Like, but just like in the middle of a set.
You know, he lost his fucking leg.
How?
He had his like fucking leg amputated.
Really?
Yeah, before he died. Yeah.
Oh, so like right before he died.
Like, I don't know how long it was before he died, but it couldn't have been that long. But he had his fucking leg amputated. Because I think he was also, like, he was also ill in addition to, like, the drug stuff. Like, I think he
died.
No, it wasn't a result of that.
No, but I'm saying, like, he died shortly after.
Not too long after. I don't know. I don't know the exact timeline, but I heard that once.
He could have just kept it and whatever.
He took his leg, because I think, because of possibly diabetes? I don't know.
Who knows? Either way, at one point he, like, loses his spot on the paper, and then repeats, like, word for word, the last three jokes he said.
Yeah.
Three.
Like, he just jumps back and then says, like, bang, bang, bang. You're like, I just heard those.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sorry, you're fucked up if you're doing that. Like, if you're delivering three jokes word for word in the exact same way you just delivered them, you're a little fucked up.
Yeah.
All right. Five question time, Walter? We're almost at an hour.
Oh, we're still doing that feature. Okay, sure, yeah.
How did we stop doing that feature?
Because we never did it with any of the Fringe guys.
Well, yeah, because fuck them. They're apocryphal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Still not the right word.
I'm canon.
It's fucking 100% the right word. Okay. I'm going to, in this podcast, post the definition of apocryphal.
And you'll be right.
And then it's going to be also a third definition saying, fuck
Can
you,
I just
Walter.
Say how I use the word how I use the word apocryphal?
Okay.
Here's how I use the
You're
word
using it wrong.
Let me contextualize it.
I don't know. Do you often use it?
More than I should, considering I probably use it the wrong way. I say, okay, somebody be like, oh, yeah. Frank Sinatra. You guys all know that great anecdote about how one time Frank Sinatra got so drunk with JFK that they double teamed a 15-year-old like Parisian girl, in a slum in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've heard that story too, but I think it's kind of apocryphal. I.e., it exists only in legend, and it's been spread so much.
But the apocrypha doesn't exist only in legend.
Yeah.
It actually exists.
What?
The apocrypha.
What the fuck is the apocrypha?
Okay, do you know where the term comes from? Okay, wow, all right. So I'm 100% right on this, and you're an idiot. The apocrypha.
You thought it was just a word.
No, the apocrypha.
It didn't refer to anything.
They're all just words, John.
Here,
yeah.
It's all just words!
That's a drop of fucking history bomb when you're fucking it.
Please.
The apocrypha are books of the Bible.
Nope.
Yes.
All right.
They're books of the Bible, including like the Book of Lilith and whatever else like that, which are biblical texts that are not contained within the Dead Sea Scrolls, so that they can't categorically say they should be in the Bible or not.
So, is that like Jesus' gospel?
No. It's earlier.
Why doesn't
than that.
Jesus have a gospel?
He does. Well, some people say he does.
It has to do with like the big one is the Book of Lilith, which like borderlines on like vampirism happens in it.
Right.
It's really fucked up.
My girlfriend.
That's like the that was like the other broad in like the creation story, right?
Yeah. It's like after. What the fuck's his name? Cain. Cain like wanders the ground and like meets Lilith, who's like this fucking witch and stuff. Like it's a lot of really weird ass shit that gets like full on magical. Like as opposed to like the weird like pseudo magic that's always happening in the Bible, it's like and she pointed.
It's like
a wand.
Vagina ghost magic, like vagina ghost Game of Thrones magic.
No, but like I point like turn you into a straight up toad kind of thing. Like,
cool.
So it, and because
I would have been really super down with that book.
Yes,
had we learned that.
So it's. It dates to around the right time,
and it's called the collective body
of those
books is referred to as
the apocrypha.
That has nothing to do with this Frank Sinatra fucking a 15-year-old girl story.
So when something is apocryphal,
I don't think I am though.
It's not 100% wrong.
The thing is, here's why it's never the wrong way to use that word. Because it's a good word, and you sound kind of smart when you use it.
But
and
then you're
a lot
about
of people don't know
Frank
what it
Sinatra
means, including me, maybe. And when you use it, no one's going to question you on your use of it just because you sound kind of smart.
Did you ever read The Vice Guide to Picking Up Chicks?
No.
It's amazing. But one of the things is they were talking about, like, 50 cent words.
It's mostly apocryphal, though.
Okay. But they were talking about, like, how to pick up a chick. They were like, say a big word, but then, like, follow it up or, like, prelude it by a cuss. So it sounds like you don't even know it's a big word, being like, that's fucking apocryphal. So it's not like you're trying to rub your vocabulary in it, but you're like, I don't even know that's a big word. That's just part of my vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not trying to rub it in your face.
And then use, like, you know, redneck words, but with an English accent.
How does that work? Hit on me. Go!
Just say, well, I suppose if you're feeling peckish, we could eat the possum I ran over. See? That's the opposite of what you just said.
Okay,
it's
questions.
The same way to pick up chicks. Five questions!
You want the song? You want to sing the song, Walter?
Five questions. The first. If you could have sex with any wrestler,
this is not
living
the question.
Or dead. Oh, we actually have five questions.
Yeah.
Okay,
how the questions work is it's three questions.
We'll get my questions at the end.
Okay.
Three questions that we ask every guest.
Okay.
And then one question that is asked to you from the previous guest, and then the last question is you get to ask a question of the future guest.
You seriously still have a question from the previous guest, and at this point,
you
not
have
counting
it, you
the
have
fringe guest,
down?
That would be who?
Not counting the fringe guest, it's Kyle. The last real guest was Kyle.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's
your
do
first
this.
Fucking I.
So now I have to come up with a question.
Well, at the end, you have four questions worth of questions to keep in the back of your head what your question's going to
be.
The first question is, what was your favorite toy as a kid?
My favorite toy as a kid? I'm
or
not
now.
Sure. The one thing that came to my head, it wasn't like a toy, but it was like my, I had like a big, I think it was a big football shaped like toy basket.
Okay.
That I kind of like ripped the lid, like kind of like folded on top, and I think I ripped it off, and I would like just go in that thing, and I would empty all the toys, and I'd be like the master of all the toys in my little ship football
all
thing.
So it was like a spaceship for one.
Yes. Exactly.
So you climbed inside. I can imagine.
It was
that.
Like a canoe for space.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Because if you're a kid and there's any sort of a vehicle,
I was a very destructive kid. I ripped the lid off the thing because it would go back and forth and it just came off.
Like fuck it, I'm getting
fuck this noise.
Yeah.
I remember the same when I was a kid. Bunk bed, spaceship.
Yeah.
Obviously, the top is the
everything is the spaceship.
Like the viewing deck, and the bottom is the like where the engine is.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
It's a spaceship, and so yeah, the little small.
I think I tried to like close myself into it too, but it never worked.
Did your parents ever come in here to
like,
this thing? You're like,
what the hell are you doing? Yeah,
kind of stuck.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Mom, in the football again.
Mom, I'm stuck in the football thing. Yeah. So that was your, like, that's like your big, like, when you were.
I think so. That was the first thing that came to my head, yeah.
All right. That's safe. The most fun you've ever had, ever.
Oh, man. The most fun I've ever had, ever.
And he's a dirty comic.
I am a dirty comic. Yesterday, I had a lovely picnic with
my
girlfriend.
Yesterday. No, he's sucking up. His girlfriend's right here. Bullshit.
It was an awesome time.
Okay. You're going to need to leave, and then we're going to ask him the question.
The most fun I've had in my entire life.
Not counting threesomes, so the girlfriend won't be upset.
No, unless she was involved in the threesome, at which point it's okay.
No, I never had.
And then you say that like she was the better one.
He's literally never told me about a threesome.
No,
he was like, I had this threesome with my girlfriend, and it just reminded me how much I loved her.
John and I
so much better than the other girl.
Don't even talk enough to the point or he could have ever told me anything incriminating.
We're just stalling right now so that he can think of it.
Yeah. Most fun I've ever had? I don't know.
You like fireworks?
Fireworks.
Hey, buddy, you like fireworks?
Because I can get you some fireworks.
I'm getting notes from my girlfriend.
Is she going to show
the night I met my girlfriend was a blast.
She's about to show you a picture and you'd be like, I can't say that.
I'm getting... Well, that was a good one. She told me... I went to go see the Louis C.K. press conference.
Okay.
And I sat, like, right in the front, and, like, Louis C.K. is, like, my hero. And he's, like, right there.
I was probably in the same row. That was last year, just last?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I was right
there.
Yeah,
I was in the front row also.
And smiling like a little girl for, like, an overweight, middle-aged, bald man.
That's cool.
That was fun. And then I stayed.
I don't think you're that overweight.
Well, whatever.
Oh, Louis.
Yeah.
No, we said he's in good weight. He's in wrestling shape.
Right. Yeah, and then I snuck into the thing afterwards. It's never left.
The lunch?
No, it was
Andy
Kindler's thing.
State of the industry.
State of the industry, yeah. That was fun.
That's cool. right. So almost meeting Louis C.K.
Yes.
Okay, so for the record, you have one good answer and one not so good answer.
Yeah. Almost, the third meeting, almost meeting Louis C.K. is completely fine. Yeah. I accept it. It's worth at least 3 points.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, this one, the third one is super, super easy. What's your favorite drink?
Canadian Club on ice.
Straight up?
Yeah, oh, no, on ice. Ice, right? Ice, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, the Canadian Club is acceptable having on ice. There's certain things that I'm not down with pouring over ice. CC on ice is fine.
Yes.
Because it's shit whiskey.
Well,
it's Canadian whiskey, first of all.
It's rye. I had this argument with my father. He's like, it's rye. I'm like, it's Canadian whiskey. It says right on the label. He's like, it's rye.
Canadian whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Your father's correct.
I know.
Exactly.
But you were also correct about a Procaful, so I'm not going to give you that one.
The score of this podcast is Keith 7, Walter 0, John's at 3.
There you go.
I'm always winning.
Okay, this question is from Kyle Allat.
Allat.
Kyle Allat. Allat. K. Weasel Allat. This was...
We're at 5 already?
Or this is 4.
This is 4.
Fifth question is the question for the next guest.
I remember this segment not at all. I don't
remember really bad. This is the third time we're doing it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, he just did a show called The No Bullshit History of Canada, so he was reading a lot of nonfiction, so his questions kind of comes from that.
Yeah.
Which is, what is your favorite... He said non-bullshit book, but he meant nonfiction. So non-bullshit nonfiction book.
My favorite nonfiction book?
Say the Bret Hart memoir.
I figured he would maybe go with the McFoley one from before.
No.
It's real good, too.
As a nonfiction.
The first one was really good, too. The second one is still pretty good, but the first Foley book is amazing.
So, yeah, your favorite nonfiction book.
That kind of changed my life, I think, when I read that. Can I answer for him?
The last book I read was a biography on Socrates. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
Wow, you went super highbrow on that one.
Super highbrow.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm like, I can't think. I have a million books.
What, because you're Greek? Like, what are you...
Yeah.
A fucking biography. Who wrote that? Who wrote Socrates' biography?
It was probably a
historian or something.
No, exactly. It was written like last year.
Who knows what he did? Besides say like smart shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you know anything about history?
No, he was a pretty cool guy.
Only the apocryphal parts.
Yeah.
And then Socrates mounted his jetpack.
How long was it? Was like 1,000 pages?
Must have been huge.
No, it was... No.
No.
No, it was like...
It was a bridge.
3 to 4 or something, yeah.
Well, I guess if you don't really get into his philosophy and you just get into his life, you could...
Yeah, it's...
It's like,
did he do a lot of interesting shit apart from the philosophy?
No, he's just a cool, like, a weird guy to what, like, the standards were for, like, that time. He's kind of like the original Jesus.
This is... We're still talking about Socrates, right?
Yes.
Right.
Is he the one... Now, I'm going to...
He's the one that didn't write anything down. Just everyone...
You know what? I'm not even going to ask this question because I don't feel like saying like an
idiot.
Plato wrote down a lot of what he said, and then that was that.
Exactly.
So which one was accused of corrupting the youth?
Socrates.
There you go.
I think both.
Yeah, but
then... No, which one was officially accused?
Socrates had to drink something and then he died.
Then they gave him the nightshade, or wolfsbane,
like Romulan ale.
Or something.
Romulan ale. We're back at Star Trek.
Star Trek.
All right, Star Trek, wrestling, and Socrates. With John Milanos.
Question
the fifth is, without knowing who our next guest
is,
because we don't know
who our next guest is,
ask him any question you would like to know.
I feel like I would always want to be asked this in an interview. It's from the actor studio James Lipton thing.
Okay.
Like, if there is a God, and you, what would you want him to say to you if you got there?
That's going to get heavy.
Yeah.
It's going to end our next podcast on a really heavy note.
There you go.
Do you have an answer for that one? So
I'd be like, I would love if he was like, yeah, okay, you're on next. Can you do 5 to 7 minutes?
That's 5 to 7 minutes when...
Please don't be dirty.
When St. Peter flashes you, get the fuck off.
Yeah, please. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Because he don't dick around.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you... It's when you die?
If you die. I think he asks, if you die and there is a heaven, because I think... He wants to be PC and whatever.
Right. If you die and there
or
is a
Shangri-La.
Heaven, yeah. Shangri-La, whatever. If you die and there is an afterlife and there is a deity in that afterlife, what do you want him to say to you?
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. All right. I'll try to remember that. I mean, I will remember that. And if I don't, it's on the fucking podcast.
There you go. And you can listen and then...
Just go back and listen and write it down later.
Yeah.
Next time I'll try not to be so surprised when we get to this 5-question segment.
Next time I'll try to not act fucking freaked
that's
out
hilarious.
That we have a whole segment that we wrap the show with.
Wait, the show's done now?
What's it been an hour? What?
That was fast.
Yeah,
I know. Well, maybe
thanks
she wouldn't
for coming.
Dicked around.
I mean, it was great.
Thanks for having me.
We could have gotten to other shit maybe if John didn't insist on talking about wrestling.
I'm just gonna throw out an idea, which is gonna piss off Scott and probably Sophie. I think that
I'm already in.
Myself, Walter, and Patterson should watch a pay-per-view and then record a podcast immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
See?
We do like a after.
We could also do it with Scott and you.
Definitely, I'm down.
But it would be a different podcast.
It would be a different podcast.
And a different pay-per-view.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we can, like, just rewatch an old pay-per-view.
By the way, guys, look at the bar. Just everybody needs to go look at
that's
the bar.
That's hilarious. Is that... Who's that? Oh, that's not someone else.
There's a girl dancing just fucking by herself.
The weird old dance.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
And on that note,
that was a Go Plug Yourself 15 with John Lattis.
Thank
go
you guys.
Like him on Facebook.
Thanks for having me.
That didn't go quite as I thought it would.
Listen to his podcast.
Yeah,
did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
Alright, wicked. Because we only know so many people, so like we're going to... You're gonna.
I had literally nothing to plug. I just wanted to be on this.
Oh, you plug plenty, John.
There you go.
I was like, in you plug in 90s wrestling, we'll have you
Star
on the
Trek,
show
and Robot 2000.
Right.
A restaurant. A restaurant that no longer exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Retroactive plugging.
Woo! Yeah.
All right. Cool. I'm Keith.
I'm Walter.
And that was
I'm
our
John.
Guest, John.
John Milanos. I have Twitter, Facebook.
He has all those things.
Things.
There'll be links.
Hashtag Robo.
Fries. Hashtag Robot 2000.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Bring back Robot 2000. Start a Twitter fucking.
I'm good.
Motherfucker is the dog, an animal, is he a little motherfucker? I guess not, hey, motherfucker, is he here, what? You're dead, and fucking with a leg, is he a boot? What do you think of your ball? Hey, I'm carrying a fucking DMI, is he a
Hey everyone, it's me again, wasting your time at the end of the podcast where it doesn't matter anyways. Look, if you're a fan of the show and the site in general, please take the time to like us on Facebook. We are number9to5dotcc, 9to5.cc on Facebook. And also follow us on Twitter. We're @number9to5cc on Twitter. So, and also be sure to check back on the site for something on Mondays, probably. We have Zombies and Loathing After the Bomb usually on Tuesdays. We have a new comic in 9to5 Illustrated every Wednesday. A new podcast every week, usually on Thursday. It's either going to be a 9ES or a Go Plug Yourselves. And on Fridays, we have Fine Arts with either Sophie and Scott. And, you know, maybe John will even contribute one of his mega articles at some point, too. You can only hope. All right, thanks.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.